Accession number 23329, Reel 1.
Mr. Carl Younger, Reel 1.
My name is Carlton Younger, usually known as Cal. I was born just outside Melbourne on the 27th of November 1921. I went with my parents, obviously, to a place called Chilton in the northern part of Victoria when I was about 6 months old, so my birthplace doesn't count much in my life. When I was three, we moved to a town called Kerang, about 200 miles north of Melbourne, and that I regard as my hometown. We lived there until I was 15, and my father was a pharmacist and moved to Melbourne in 1937, and from a country high school, I then went to Melbourne Boys High School and had the best 2 years of my education. It was a wonderful school. I couldn't go to university because it was still the Depression and times were hard, and I needed to get a job. And I was anxious to go into journalism, and the Melbourne Herald said that they'd give me a cadetship in a year's time, advised me to go away and learn typing and shorthand, but I still needed a job, and I ended up in the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. I was there about 6 months, I suppose, when war was declared. At the time, I was in bed with measles, and the following day I applied to the Royal Australian Navy. I had always had an inclination towards the Navy at 13, and again at 15 when there was a special intake. I almost applied, but the idea of writing came out on top. I got an answer from the Navy saying they'd call me up in due time, but they were a bit slow, and the Empire Air Training Scheme came into being, and I applied for that. That would have been just after I turned 18. It would have been in the December. And I was interviewed. I remember being asked about the Cobra, which was a new American aircraft, and asked its speed and so on. I was also asked about Sir Stamford Raffles, but I couldn't remember his name at the time. And when I left the room, it suddenly came back to me, and I popped my head through the door and said, "Sir Stamford Raffles," and rather amused the high-ranking officers who were doing the interview. I was accepted because I had an eyesight defect. I was not able to be a pilot. We all wanted to be, of course. But I was put down for air observer or air gunner. For the next few months, I had to go once a week to Scotch College in Melbourne to do mathematics. along with others who'd been accepted at the same time. The Empire Air Training Scheme first course was in April 1940, and I ended up on five course in August 1940. We went to Summers for 8 weeks initial training. I did one night guard, and the CO in the middle of the night told me to get the hell out of it. I was keeping him awake. So I got the hell out of it. And that was Sir Thomas White. And I met him in London many years later, but that's another story. At Summers, we drilled an awful lot. You'd expect that for recruits. We learned Morse code. We learned, or we did, maths, which I found very easy, having spent the last few months refreshing myself as far as maths are concerned. And what else did we do? We didn't do any actual navigation. We did some map reading. We did some firearms drill. I'd never had a revolver in my hand before, but my first shot was a bull. I laughed so much that my second one didn't hit the target, and my next four were bulls, and that's the last time I ever handled a revolver. On one occasion, we were inspected by the Governor General and a visiting English Air Chief Marshal, Sir Charles Burnett, I think his name was. And the Governor General tweaked my hair, which wasn't really long. In fact, it had been cut by the camp barber. But anyway, the CO, as he passed by me, hissed at me, "Get your hair cut." I thought to be recognised in that way in front of the Governor General wasn't bad. Anyway, we went on to Cootamundra, and this was number one Air Observers School, and this is where we really got tucked into things. In the first place, we were taken on a flight. What did they call it? Anyway, a matter of getting used to the air. And then we did navigation, meteorology, continued with signalling in Mawson with both sound and Aldous lamps. It was a good time. It was summer. The only thing was that in the air, I, along with some of the others, used to get very sick. We were flying in Avro Anson's and de Havilland Rapides. The Anson's had a handle to wind up the wheels. It was about 144 turns, and by the time we'd done that, we were exhausted and very prone to sickness. I had a tin that had quite a history. I gave it to my girlfriend at the time with sweets in it. She gave it back to me with cakes in it. I turned it into my sick tin, and when I'd finished getting air sick, I made it my instrument tin, and I even had it in Germany ultimately, though I can't remember how the devil it got there. Anyway, that was Kootamundra. We used to have to run around the aerodrome. Instructor was, we finished up as Air Vice Marshal Marsh, what we used to call him, not Swampy, think of it. And he was quite athletic and he used to pride himself on finishing first. But for a couple of days he didn't finish first. A chap named Luck got there, and Flying Officer Marsh, as he then was, couldn't understand it. But what really happened was there was a railway line coming down the last long side of the airfield, and Lucky Luck used to get a ride on a trolley bringing workmen back. They came at the same time every day, so he used to hop on the trolley and be at the finishing post before Flying Officer Marsh got there. We had one crash there. There were three courses there at the time, so 3, 4 and 5 were there, and then each month one course went off to Evans Head, which was a bombing and gunnery school. We used to sing a rather rude ditty when we left. And Mr. Smiley too, since we've been at Coota, we've been mucked about by you, etc. We were out in the middle of the airfield, I think throwing a ball around, and one of the group was the Australian Test cricketer Ross Gregory, and as a rabbit dashed through our group, Gregory actually caught it with one hand as it went. It was like a brilliant slip catch. My main friend in those days was Junior Burrows. He was actually a little older than I. There were three of us who were 18. I was the youngest of the three, but Junior Burrows looked about 14 and used to get chucked out of pubs in spite of his protests that he wouldn't be in the Air Force at all if he weren't 18. He'd been a fishmonger's clerk. Not a fishmonger, but people that used to auction the fish. He'd been the clerk, and his mental arithmetic was absolutely out of this world. There were a lot of very fine men on that course, and on the early courses they did tend to be older men, and up to 35, they seemed awfully ancient to the 18-year-olds. One of them was a school teacher named Jack Shearer, who Junior used to describe as the little man of many winters, much to his annoyance. He also was an old boy of Melbourne High School. And there was Stuart Wood, who worked in a bank. He was a Geelong College chap, and Bill Nettles, who was Scotch College, he was also in a bank. He had been in the Victorian Scottish Regiment as a militiaman before the war. A great charmer, especially with the ladies. If we were arriving at a new town or a port or somewhere, Bill would find out what was the best restaurant in town, and he would phone it and book for two. Then he would set about finding his partner. He always ended up with the prettiest girl in town. Who else was there were two Andersons. One was a school teacher, Noel Anderson, and the other one was Jeff. I know Jeff was killed ultimately. I'm not sure about Noel. We had one accident at Cootamundra. We had just taken off, and aircraft in front of us, for what reason I don't know, just plunged into the ground, and the pilot and three navigators or navigator trainees were killed. We flew over it just moments later. We also used to fly over the local swimming pool. And very strange the way that people look at an aircraft and don't really think about the people in it. And the pilots used to fly very low over the swimming pool because the dressing rooms had no roofs. And the girls used to stand there waving and probably not realizing that somebody was looking down on them. So we had our fun. Most of the chaps got to know local girls, and it was quite a good town, really, Cootamundra. We were mostly disappointed that we hadn't gone to Canada for training, but in the end, I think we enjoyed our training in Australia. From Cootamundra, we went to Evans Head, which was the, I think I just said, the bombing and gunnery school. We had 8 weeks there, and there was a wonderful beach, and we spent quite a bit of our free time there. We flew in Fairy Battles, which was our first acquaintance with an actual wartime aircraft, although I suppose the Anson was used a bit, probably by Coastal Command, I suppose. And it wasn't a very comfortable aircraft for a bomb aimer. The pilot seemed to have difficulty in following your instructions. He asked them to go right or left. The way you did it was left, left, steady, right, a little, steady. But each time they moved what was quite a heavy aircraft for its size, that it always seemed to go a little bit too far. So it wasn't surprising that an Italian fruit grower from next door to the bombing range used to complain bitterly about the practice bombs that landed on his orchard. I remember when we had to take a Browning machine gun to pieces and put it together again. There was a little spring, and when I had my test, somehow the little spring sprung, and I passed the test, but it was a bit embarrassing. I did a cartoon act at a concert that we put on, or somebody put it on, and they got me to do caricatures of a couple of the characters of the cab. One, Dusty Rhodes, was one of the instructors. He was well known, he used to ride everywhere on a bicycle, so I did him riding his bicycle. I did them in very light pencil first, and then went over them on stage with charcoal. That, I think, is my one and only stage appearance. After we completed our bombing and gunnery, we went to Parks, where we did astronavigation, and I really fell for that. I enjoyed astronavigation, and I was to use it constantly later on. I got an extra lesson, jumping a little bit. On the ship coming over, we used to do a watch on the bridge, and I got to know the first mate, and I learned a great deal about astronavigation from him, and star recognition as we changed from the southern hemisphere to the northern. Let's see if I'm just trying to remember. We had wonderful food at Parks, the best we ever had in the Air Force, I think, because they had a chef from a Sydney hotel that joined as a cook, and the desserts we had were absolutely out of this world. We had an adjutant who had taken part in the First World War. He was a wonderful character. I met his son many years later and learned that he was still going strong. We also had a Flight Lieutenant Peters, who was an English RAF man who'd been seconded to teach astronavigation. And it was just a month, but it was very enjoyable. And I can remember one Sunday morning we bombed the town of Orange with oranges. We took a load of oranges on board and we dropped them. They no doubt thumped on the tin roofs in the early hours of the morning. And we did night flying for the first time from Parks, obviously because we were using the stars, but we did some daylight flying using the sun. It was rather a long business because we had to use marine tables, and they took quite a time to look up. Later on in England, when we were flying on ops, we had an astrograph which cut out all the looking up tables. Did it automatically. At the end of the month at Parks, we had our graduation parade when we got our brevies, and we learned who had got commissions off course and who were NCOs. Most of those who got commissions were older men, and I think all the married men got commissions. I suppose they thought they'd need the money to keep their wives, the extra money they got as officers. But that's the way it worked. We had a captain, or a former captain from the Indian Army on course with us, a man named Grimshaw. And he was very much looked up to by the officers, even those who, his rank was rather more than captain. Grimshaw, of course, got a commission, but he used to get very airsick, and I think he took a ground job after that. We rather taken to task, we were, by the CO when he pinned our brevies on, because most of them had been roistering the previous night, and their breaths rather knocked him back. I didn't drink in those days, so it was all right with me. But we had one chap named Arthur Danzy, who used to go round with an invisible dog, and he took this dog on parade with him when we graduated and introduced him to the CO.
Could you just explain brevies?
Yes. The brevet was the wings or half wing that we got. Ours was, in those days, was an O for observer. Later, they split the observer into navigator and bomb aimer, because it turned out on bombing operations that the one man had too much to do. But that's what the brevet was. We went from Parks back to Cootamundra on our way back to Melbourne. We were, I think, all Victorians on the course, so it was to Melbourne we went. But we had a very rousing night at a pub in Cootamundra before we got the train the next morning. And we went to, I think we had a spot of leave, can't remember exactly, I think we had a week. And then we went to Embarkation Depot, which was the Flemington Racecourse. I'm sorry, not the racecourse, the Flemington Showgrounds, the Royal Showground, had been commandeered. We didn't do very much there. We just waited for a posting, really. We were allowed to drill pilot trainees who were going to Rhodesia, as it was, to train, and they were just leading aircraft men, of course. So we were sergeants, they had to do what we told them, and Junior Burrows gave them an awful session of drilling. He really had the marching. We had a big dance there. Everybody had their girlfriends, and I helped decorate the place by doing a big drawing of a fairy battle on a blackboard at the end of the room. I didn't dance in those days, so that was the limit of my participation in that. Eventually, after about a month, I suppose, which seemed an awful, awful long time, we were we were split into parties, and one lot included